All right, so it's all about control. A Janet Jackson song. We're talking about, in this case, is controlling breathing. So, ultimately, what we want to do is we want to make respiratory muscles contract. When respiratory muscles contract, what will happen? You'll breathe in. All right, that's great. So, the muscles are under autonomic and somatic innervation. What does that mean? Say again? Yes, it has voluntary and involuntary control. So, do you have to sit there and go, take a breath? Okay, good. Take another one. Okay, take another one. Slower. Okay. Do you have to do that? No, if you don't think about it, what will your body do? It will keep breathing on its own. But if I tell you, hold your breath, Simon didn't say, you can do it. If I say, take a bigger breath, you can do it. If I say, breathe shallowly, you can do it. If I say, take really big, deep breaths, you could do it. If I said, imitate Chain Stokes breathing, you probably couldn't do it because you don't remember that. You do? You want to show us?
Can you actually hold your breath,
though?
Sure. The theory that even if you held your breath, you were still breathing, because your body just would make it, unless you're like plug your nose.
Okay, well, if you want to try it, just go underwater. Yeah, because now there's no air to leak in. But, yeah. So, yes, you can. But here's an interesting thing to do sometime when you're in a pool the next time. Hold the edge of the pool and prop your feet up so that you're kind of like, you know, you're just in the water. Then take a really deep breath and see what happens to how you float in the water, and then go and breathe all the way out. Now for me, I can get like, you know, 6 or 8 inches difference just by breathing in or out, because my lungs are that buoyant. That and my, anyway, so how many of you have seen The Guardian? Remember the very beginning when the big guy makes them all do their tread water in the pool, and the big guy, I got a muscle cramp. He's like, physics 101, fellers, muscle doesn't float. All right. But air does inside your lungs. So if you want to survive in the water without using as much energy, keep your lungs inflated. All right. So the muscles are under autonomic and somatic innervation. Autonomic fibers originate in the respiratory center. The respiratory center is located in the pons and medulla, where? What part of the brain is that? In the brainstem. They respond to changes in central chemoreceptors. Now, when we say the word central, what do we mean? In the brain, right. So in the spinal cord, in the brain, we have chemoreceptors that will taste your blood, and they're most responsive to, what are they most responsive to? They're most responsive to changes in pH, which is directly mediated by changes in the partial pressure of carbon dioxide. So, if carbon dioxide levels are high, what will happen to the pH? pH will go down. What will that do to a person's breathing then? It'll make them breathe more. Now, if the levels of CO2 are low, what will that do to pH? It'll make the pH go up. And then what will that do to breathing? Slow it down. Now, there's a secondary chemoreceptor which detects the partial pressure of oxygen. Now, this one never kicks in unless these ones wear out. What's the major reason for the PaCO2 ones wearing out? Say again? Okay, COPD, but what happens in COPD? All right, so your body retains CO2, so it's got high CO2 levels all the time. Eventually, these CO2 receptors just say, ah, the heck with it, I'm moving to Florida. So they give up, and now your body relies on the oxygen. All right, there's also something called a stretch reflex. The more a person breathes in, eventually they get to a point where their muscles are stretched, and the body goes, okay, I think we're done breathing in for the moment now. Now, control of the airways. That was control of breathing muscles. Starts in the brain, mediated primarily by pH, which is primarily mediated through carbon dioxide. All right, now, the bronchioles themselves. You've got to get air through a tube. How many of you have ever breathed through a tube before? Snorkeling? Anyone snorkel? Snorkel? Okay. What I'd like for you to do, who has a snorkel here? Not here in class, but who here has a snorkel? All right, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to go home, and I'd like for you to breathe through that snorkel, and then I want you to get a straw and breathe through the straw. Which one is easier to breathe through? Why is the snorkel easier to breathe through? Because it's bigger, what do you mean, longer? No, it's wider. Okay, so the diameter of the tube you breathe through determines how easy it is to get air in and out. Now, your bronchi can get smaller or bigger depending on how much air we want to go through them. So control of the size of the bronchi is via primarily sympathetic and parasympathetic tone. Parasympathetic is what ordinarily tells your bronchi to do what they do, which is slightly constrict, slightly constrict, slightly constrict, make some mucus, slightly constrict, make some mucus, slightly constrict, make some mucus. What does the parasympathetic side do? Slightly constrict and make some mucus. The sympathetic side only kicks in during what situation? Stress response, which could be exercise, getting pulled over by a cop, getting ready to take a test, having to fight with the grizzly bear. Yep. So sympathetic response is responsible for relaxation of the smooth muscle, which is going to bronchodilate. It's also going to cause less mucus production. So your body, so ordinarily, right now, even as you're here, because you're not taking a test today, right in this very moment, your bronchi are being told by what side of your nervous system? Parasympathetic. And they're being told, constrict a little bit and produce some mucus. In addition to that, we also have some non-cholinergic, non-adrenergic inhibitory system. And these cause bronchodilation via nitric oxide production. And this is mediated by blood flow. This is not very important for our purposes at the moment, but just for being complete, we put it on here. The most important thing is parasympathetic and sympathetic for our purposes. Oh, let's fast forward. Yay, love fast forwarding. All right, now let's say we had a disease, and in this disease, our bronchi are artificially bronchoconstricted, and we're producing too much mucus. How could we stop that? What kind of drugs could we give? What drug classes? Okay, we could give an anticholinergic. What would the anticholinergic do? If ordinarily acetylcholine causes bronchoconstriction, what would giving an anticholinergic do? Cause bronchodilation. If ordinarily acetylcholine causes increased mucus production, what would an anticholinergic do? It would dry out the lung. Now, on the test yesterday, I asked you to give me the name of just such a drug. And what were the correct names of those drugs? Ipratropium and tiotropium. Now, you should have anticipated that because on your take-home test, it asked you for the name of a drug that was used to treat urinary incontinence. So you should have known, well, Dr. Heyman's not going to ask that one again. So maybe I should learn these other drugs. And some of you did, and that was very good of you. Some of you, I don't know if you didn't or if it was just a brain fart or whatever, but it wasn't so good of you. Now, on the sympathetic side, what kind of drug would we give to treat that bronchoconstriction and excess mucus? Bum, 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 bum. On the sympathetic side, do we want more sympathetic or less sympathetic stimulation? Are you sure? Well, ordinarily, the sympathetic side causes bronchodilation and it causes less mucus. If we want more bronchodilation and less mucus, would we stimulate the sympathetic or would we block it? We would stimulate it. So what kinds of drugs do we know that stimulate the sympathetic side? Epinephrine. And then we actually have some specific stimulators that we'll talk about later. But I want to introduce this concept very early of you can cause bronchodilation by either blocking parasympathetic or increasing sympathetic. Nod. Okay, good. Don't lose it. It's got to stay here. Okay, Tara, explain it to us.
Oh, I can't explain it. You explain it.
Okay.
Because I'm really trying to grasp the medication thing. If you want your bronchi to constrict and get rid of the excess mucus, that's a parasympathetic.
Wait. You said the two opposite things. You want it to dilate and stop producing as much mucus. So in our disease, we're going to have too much constriction and too much mucus, or maybe one or the other. So what we want to do now is we want to dilate and we want to stop producing mucus.
You want to dilate and stop.
Dilate and stop. So ordinarily, the sympathetic does exactly that. Why would you want to bronchoconstrict? Okay. So, but if you wanted to, you could give something that enhances acetylcholine.
Or you could give
something that blocks this.
Okay, so one or the other.
Right. But that ordinarily, you would never want to do that.
But if you want to bronchodilate even more, right. I can do exactly...
You do the opposite.
The opposite.
Right.
And I can use the two classes of drugs?
Yes. All right. Okay. I didn't know this would be so confusing. Let's go to the board. All right, so what is this right here? It is a bronchi with little drops of mucus. Now, we can make it bigger with less mucus, or we can make it smaller with more mucus. Okay, now, what tells your bronchi to get smaller and produce more mucus? Okay, parasympathetic. Now, what tells it to get bigger and produce less?
Sympathetic.
Now, diseases, lung diseases, tend to make this happen. So if we want this to go from this back to normal or even to over here, how would we do that? We could block this or we could enhance this. Okay, so what type of drug blocks this? Anticholinergics. What type of drug enhances this? Epinephrine and some others we're going to learn about. All right. Does that make sense? Okay. So I told you, it's all about the pictures.